Blog Talk Radio.
Come with power, because he's a liar and the father of lies. He comes but to kill and destroy, steal, kill, and destroy. But our Savior says that he came to give us life and give it more abundantly, as it's written in John 10:10. It's really interesting how the devil comes and even tempted Jesus in the desert and tried to con him, basically, into following him. You know, if you do this, I'll give you this. If you do this, I'll give you this. Well, if you're so powerful, why don't you do this? So, you know, it was just over and over. He was just constantly meddling with him, trying to play with his head. And that's the same thing. It's the same game. He hasn't changed his modus operandi at all over all these, you know, these centuries that have passed. He still comes at us the same exact way. If you do this, I'll do this. It's just amazing how he comes at us. He doesn't realize that that his game is known, that he has been discovered for what he is and who he is, and that our Lord and Savior has defeated him in the grave. So that was just in my heart. And, you know, that quote that Pastor said, the devil can quote scripture, and that just kept rolling around in my head. He also said that if one is truly transformed, the spirit of argumentation and strife does not exist in him. Now, that's very powerful. I'm going to read it. I'm going to say that again. If one is truly transformed, that's by the Spirit of God, the spirit of argumentation and strife does not exist in him.
Praise God. That sounds like freedom.
Hallelujah.
Freedom from self.
Hallelujah. Talk about perfect peace. You know, that peace that passes all understanding.
All righty. So can you give us a scripture that we can turn to and look at it as a reference from Tuesday night?
Sure. He started out looking at Isaiah 51:1.
Okay. Welcome to the studio, Pastor Yelvin.
Isaiah 51.
51 verse 1.
Hearken to me, you that follow after righteousness, you that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock whence you are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence you are digged. Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare you, for I called him alone, and blessed him, and increased him. For the Lord shall comfort Zion, he will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody.
So in those three verses alone, there's such a richness and treasure of what it tells us. It tells us and talks about where our foundation begins, because our foundation is in the Lord, our rock. And he goes back and says, look unto Abraham, your father, and unto Sarah that bare you, for I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. And that's a look back at as Abraham has been called the father of our faith. Looking back at Abraham and the work that began, that the Lord began in and through Abraham, that through him and through his lineage would come the Messiah. So praise God.
Wow. So if you don't try to go too fast through that scripture, the depth of what it's saying, hearken to me, it's the Lord speaking, hearken to me. So He's asking for our attention.
Yeah. Hearken, listen. Listen to me.
Jesus said, if you have ears, he who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit is saying.
And it's interesting that in the Amplified, hearken to me, all in caps. It's all in caps. It's just, you know, it's very serious. Listen to me. The Lord's trying to get our attention.
In my King James, it's all capitalized as well. Yeah.
Then ye that follow after righteousness. So that follow after righteousness.
You that seek the Lord.
So the Lord is speaking to those that are seeking righteousness and that seek the Lord.
It's kind of like Matthew 6:33.
Matthew 6:33, let's go there.
But keep your finger on here, because we're going to come back.
But seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Okay.
So, praise God.
It's like a shadow almost. That's what the Lord's pointing back to.
Amen. Amen. So when we look at verse 1, talks about our foundation. And verse 2, the Lord's giving us Abraham as our example, and an example. And it's interesting, going to verse 3, how it talks about, for the Lord shall comfort Zion, he will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. And Pastor brought out that the waste places in our lives are created as a result of ignorance and or sin.
Wow.
And so if we magnify what Pastor is saying there, and you look at the first couple of verses and how they're connected, what Pastor is saying is, or magnifying, is that self and carnality and being connected to this world and seeking for things for ourselves is actually hindering God doing what he's declared to do. And he's making a declaration, listen to me, give me your attention, because he's able to do, and he's going to do what he's declared from before the foundation of the world to do. And it's not a matter of choice. It's a matter of command. It's a matter of ancient decrees and us coming into an understanding that he's the creator and we're the creation, and that we have a responsibility to obey our creator and to allow him to form the life of Christ in us.
Amen. And as Pastor put it, he said, Christ in us is the one new man. The wilderness will be like Eden, and the waste places in our lives must be cleaned before God can occupy those places.
Wow.
And that's the work that only he can do.
Right. So positionally, he's done it by doing the finished work of going to the cross and translating us. And so there's a responsibility to understand who we are and to stop complicating you use that word in that declaration that Pastor made, transformation. Don't complicate the transformation by holding on to this world and loving this world and things of this world. And that's really what we do. And that's where false religion kind of comes into play there. You know, you were making mention that he said that the devil can quote scriptures. And that's just it. You know, religious people quote scriptures and they use it to justify self. But God is our justifier, and the scriptures say the just live by faith. you know, let me jump in now. Okay, very good. Welcome, Pastor Yavi. That was one thing that came up on Tuesday night as well. What you just said is, and it's something we've been running into recently, and it's a good warning to everybody that's listening. Don't get fooled by people who know the Bible. The devil tempted Jesus with the Bible. The devil tempted Eve with the words that God had spoken. So just because you know the scripture doesn't mean anything. There's a lot of smart people who know a lot about the Bible. There's a lot of ungodly people who know a lot about the Bible. Islam can quote you Bible. So don't get fooled by people who quote Bible, because it doesn't mean anything. The one who's truly got the Holy Spirit is the one who knows how to walk out the Bible and knows how to live the Bible. So if you have a man who walks around and can give you the speech of Christianity, but he can turn around with his character and murder somebody with his tongue, how can you say that person really is a representation of Christ? You can't.
There's definitely a hindrance to transformation going on.
There's a hindrance to transformation. Now, if you go into Isaiah, this is the amazing thing about Isaiah, is look at the condition of the people and what is the discussion that the Lord is bringing to them. He's struggling with Israel at this point. But the beauty of this is you have some destruction going on in you, and I'm going to do some discipline here because I don't like what's going on, but I am going to recover you and look back to the rock, because the rock is my representative of promise.
Wow.
So even though you get disciplined, if you're my children, I will recover you. The thing about today is there's so many, just every single day I get more and more, my eyes open up a little bit more every day to the fact that there are so many people who rely on what they get from church on Sunday. And they think that that has some kind of vitality before the Lord.
Wow.
And there's not a single person on this planet who has any relationship with another human being based on 1 hour a week.
Amen. So it's kind of like a high. And the bad side of that is that there's a crash with that sometimes too.
Not sometimes. I think there always is a crash. I don't think it can last forever. And I think that's what God is entreating Israel is, look, listen to that first word of Isaiah 51:1, hearken. That doesn't sound like, just casual conversation. I think he's really struggling, and he's trying to get his people to pay attention to what he's saying. Mm-hmm. I need you to look. Because I'm trying to communicate my heart. I'm trying to tell you, you have something here that goes back to the very beginning. It goes back to Abraham and my relationship with Abraham and the way Abraham walked with me. Abraham left his land. Didn't do it perfectly. And that imperfection affected everybody, which was said Tuesday.
Wow. Yes, I think that's something the Spirit's definitely saying right now. The things we do, even though there's mercy and there's grace, the things we do bring consequences. And I was really thinking about this on the drive. It was really kind of on my heart. It's really kind of amazing because very rarely do we ever stop and think about it. The consequences are not just consequences that affect us. The consequences affect the whole creation.
Affect everybody.
So there's like 7 billion of us on the planet, and every righteous act that's birthed by the Spirit benefits everybody, and every soulish and selfish act that's not love affects and hurts everybody.
It's like Achan. Because if there's one thing he did, it affected all of Israel.
Yes. Troubler of Israel. And so very rarely, you know, there's no such thing as like anything that we do, and there's no victim.
There's always a victim.
because that's the nature of the devil. And that's another thing that I don't know if Christians are very good at. I really don't think so. I think we are so blind to the working of darkness, and so many voices in the 80s and 90s wanted to create this, distance from spiritual warfare by saying, well, you can't search for a demon under every rock. And the more I heard that as a young person, the more I began to just be indifferent to the kingdom of darkness and not even worry about it. And once you stop worrying about it, you don't even look for it. And once you stop looking for it, the only thing that you have a view of is your culture. And that is the opposite direction of where the Lord is trying to take us. We do have a war going on, and that war is not physical. It is spiritual. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. We're wrestling against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness right there in Ephesians chapter 6. And that's just the nature of it. And not a Christian on the planet should be sitting there arguing with whether it's possible. It is absolutely possible, because the word tells us it's possible. Not only is it possible, it's absolutely happening. And the rest, and if you're walking around considering that it's not happening, you're in deception.
Wow. That's...
You're in deception. You're believing lies.
Yes.
And you're listening to the lies of the liar trying to deceive you that he's there. He is there, and he is working, and he's trying to destroy everybody.
Wow, that's really something we should meditate on very carefully and consider every action, whether it's birthed because the Holy Spirit's saying go and do, or we're being pressured by the atmosphere.
There's as we're talking on the other side of Tuesday night, I think Tuesday night was maybe one of the premier messages I think I've heard in a year. Because for me, it puts a storyline, it connects everything, Isaiah 51. Isaiah 51 is the salvation of God in a nutshell. Isaiah 51 is the New Testament. Isaiah 51 is Abraham. And Abraham had something very unique with the Lord. Abraham did not have responsibility to anything. Abraham walked with God because he wanted to. He didn't have a mandate. He didn't have circumcision. He didn't have anything. All he had is, I know this God has come to me, and I'm going to do what he says.
That's amazing.
That's a first. And that makes him a prototype. A prototype of the Messiah, of a believer, a prototype of somebody who would walk after God.
Yeah, because he's starting out. He's starting out from a position of just being a man of the nations and of the world, of carnality, living like everybody else, just based on what the needs of the soul are.
Correct.
And the pressures of this world, and how the pressures of this world shape who we are and what we do. And we see that in Abraham's life. Early on, as he's walking with God, he makes mistakes. He has fear, and he responds to fear. The fear wasn't from the Holy Spirit. The fear was from the pressure of the atmosphere. And so he... First, because of consequences of not doing it exactly the way God said, he had more people that he had to be concerned with. So he's concerned with feeding those people during the time of famine. And out of fear, he goes to Egypt rather than going to the Father.
Correct. So we're down to 30 seconds at Blog Talk Radio. So we're going to be switching back over to the www.olivebranchonline.org. It's almost 12 o'clock, midnight. We're almost into the last second to last week of August. Can you believe it?
Wow, amazing.
Absolutely amazing.
Praise God, it's cooling off.
And so we just want to say shalom, shalom to all the Blog Talk people, and look for us on our website. Thank you very much. As we're in a break, let me announce our phone number, 631-533-4099. please give us a call. We'll be taking calls from that number starting